Allow and join in singing hymn number, I have no idea. Just rise and sing and rejoice. Gaudeamus Hodie, and just because I know it's a new hymn and not everybody knows the pronunciations, repeat after me. Gaudeamus Hodie. That's pretty much it. As long as you can say Gaudeamus and Hodie, you're set. All right, and so we'll sing it through. Those of you remember, great, and those of you don't, join in when you're ready. Oh, it means Sabrina?
Let's rejoice today.
Let's rejoice today, that's right, yes. It's essentially about. It's like the first song, but different. All right, here we go.
First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Dee Evans. Here we walk together through the many transitions we face in life. Here we gather and share our beginnings, our endings, and our journey in between. Can't hear me?
Just making sure. Keep going.
Death, marriage, separation, joy, pain, laughter, and heartbreak. Here we practice being human and all of our facets so that we may live well in the world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We will send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here in church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again next Sunday. We do have a nursery for infants and young children out the store and to the left. At the front of our sanctuary, right there, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You are invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. That includes adults. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And we have some announcements as soon as I find what I did with them. Right there. Okay, here we go. This announcement is a working group formed under the auspices of the building committee, hopes to replace the dusty, worn, and deteriorating paper cranes hanging in the worker room windows with new valances. They will either be ready-made or fabric will be purchased and sewn by a few people who have volunteered to do this. We estimate it'll cost about $25 per window. That's gone up a little bit, for a total outlay of around $200. Financial support from the congregation will be needed for the window treatments to be updated. We would like the valances to be in place by Christmas, so we are asking for contributions throughout November. If you make a contribution, cash or check made out to the church, Please put it in the collection plate in an envelope. There are some over there. Over there, okay. And mark the envelope balance so the money for this project is not mixed up with a regular collection. And if you write a check, please put that on check too. The second announcement is there the main dish for a fourth Saturday lunch on November 28th will be chili, accompanied by fruit and cocktail and brownies. We need food to serve around 70 people, so we really need congregational members to come through and volunteer to provide this food. There is a sign-up sheet in the worker room, so please let us know what your contribution will be. We need to know how many volunteer support people we're going to get in order so we're not scrambling at the last minute to provide enough food. So that's from Mary Johnson.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. That means that I am here for just about another 8.5 months. It's really coming on quick. We have a search committee. If you're on the search committee, would you stand up, please, so everybody can see you? These are folks who are helping us search for the next settled minister. Thank them for their good work. If you have questions about the search process or want to give information to them, please feel free to speak to them. We have a couple of things. One, in the newsletter it said that the movie Crash was November 6th. It's actually November 13th. I'm not sure where the confusion came in, but please know that if you're wanting to see the race and film series movie Crash, it will be this coming Friday. It will always be the second Friday of the month. Like I said, I'm not sure what happened. Second, for those of you who live in Edwardsville, there is a conversation of Edwardsville UUs that's been created by members of First Unitarian St. Louis folks who live in Edwardsville. They have shifted the date of their meeting to December 11th, and if you are interested in more information about where and when and all of that, it really is limited to Edwardsville people, so if you're not from Edwardsville, please ignore this message. Finally, I do want to say we've had some questions about use of technology in worship. While I always want cell phones to be in worship mode, please live tweet what is going on, create a conversation about what you're hearing. If you're the kind of person who likes social media and it helps you process what's going on, you're always welcome to do it. You're also always welcome to knit or do the other things that help you listen. So thank you very much. And now we will begin this morning's worship with a prelude.
In searching for opening words on forgiveness, the word compassion kept coming in conjunction with the word forgiveness. In the book, The Art of Happiness, the Dalai Lama defines compassion as a mental attitude based on the wish for others to be free of their suffering and is associated with commitment, responsibility, and respect toward others. It can also include a wish for good things for oneself. Let us enter this service together to learn about forgiveness, to reduce the suffering of others and of ourselves.
As Ben half lights our chalice this morning, I invite you to please join me in our chalice lighting words and hand motions. We light this chalice. Symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 399, "With Still and Small."
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving resources to this community, a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this because we are committed to a free and responsible church. We do this so that we may practice as a community that which we so often practice individually. You are invited to give abundantly, be it a quarter or $100, as an act of solidarity with this amazing community. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given. I invite you to join me this morning in our offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. This morning, our story is from a book called Tear Soup. There once was an old and somewhat wise woman whom everyone called Grandy. She just suffered a big loss in her life. Pops, her husband, suffered the same loss, but in his own way. This is the story of how Grandy faced her loss by setting out to make tear soup. For many years, the custom of making tear soup had been forgotten. As people's lives became more rushed, they found it much easier to pull soup in a can from the shelf and heat it on the stove. But several years ago, Grandy got a taste of a well-seasoned tear soup. One of her friends made it from scratch after her child died. As soon as Grandy tasted the rich flavor of that carefully made soup, she promised herself never again to assume that quicker was better.
Because of her great loss, Grandy knew this time her recipe for tear soup would call for a big pot. With a big pot, she would have plenty of room for all the memories, all the misgivings, all the feelings, and all the tears she needed to stew in the pot over time. She put on her apron because she knew it would get messy. It seems that grief is never clean. People feel misunderstood, feelings get hurt, and wrong assumptions are made all over the place. And to make matters worse, grief always takes longer to cook than anyone wants it to. And then Grandy started to cry. At first, she sobbed. Sometimes she wept quietly. And sometimes when she was in a safe place where no one could hear her, she even wailed. Grandy knew she had to make much of this part of the soup alone. She learned from past experiences that most people don't like being around tears. Her friends would worry if they knew just how many tears Grandy's recipe called for this time. So the old and somewhat wise woman reflected on her own special recipe as she looked down into the large, overflowing pot of memories. It was a task she would repeat many times during the next few months. Grandy winced when she took a sip of broth. All she could taste was salt from her teardrops. It tasted bitter, but she knew this is where she had to start. And for now, it was the only thing on her menu. There were things that Grandy never wanted to forget. These included good times and the bad times, the silly and the sad times. With her arms full of memories, Grandy made many trips to the kitchen. One at a time, she slowly stirred all her precious and not so precious memories into a pot. But eventually, she ran out of things to add. Grandy's arms ached, and she felt stone cold and empty. There were no words that could describe the pain she was feeling, and what's more, when she looked out the window, it surprised her to see how the rest of the world was going on as usual, while her world had stopped. Her grandson, Chester, who just wanted his Grandy to be happy again, hoped his chocolate drops would make her feel better. Mrs. Blumklotz, Ms. Chadwick, and Mr. Long, all brave yet fearful neighbors, dropped by to see how Grandy was doing. They filled the air with words, but none of the words took the smell of tear soup away. Grandy was gracious because she knew how helpless her friends felt. They wanted to fix her, but they couldn't. All Grandy really needed from them at that moment was a knowing look and a warm hug. There were also days when Grandy hungered for a thoughtful ear. Sometimes she would ask total strangers, "Care to join me in a bowl of tear soup?" "No, thanks," most would reply. "I don't have time for tear soup today." Even some of Grandy's friends hurried past her house and pretended not to notice the aroma of tear soup coming through her open door. Grandy found that most people can tolerate only a cup of someone else's tear soup. The giant bowl where Grandy could repeatedly share her sadness in great detail was left for just a few willing friends. "I'm here," Midge cried. "I got here as fast as I could, and I'll be here whenever you need me. What a tragedy. I'm so sorry you're having to make such a big pot of soup." Oh, what a relief. Grandy knew she didn't have to be careful what she said around Midge. Midge wouldn't try to talk her out of anything she was feeling, and Grandy could even laugh and not worry that Midge would assume Grandy was over her grief. "Sorry I couldn't get here sooner," said Midge. "No problem," replied Grandy. "I've had plenty of help, but most of these friends will be history pretty soon. They'll be over my tragedy long before I am, but I know you'll still be around." "I don't know what to say, but I'll be glad to listen," Midge said tenderly. "Come on, tell me about it while we make some bread to go along with your soup." Now, these two friends had shared 1,000 laughs and as many tears pounded at the bread dough together. "I feel like I'm unraveling," Grandy cried. "I'm mad, and I'm confused, and I can't make any decisions. Nobody can make me feel good. I'm a mess. I just didn't realize it would be this hard. Why don't we go for a walk while we wait for the bread to rise, Midge suggested. I know exercise is supposed to help me, but I feel like I have concrete blocks strapped to my legs. We better not go too far or you'll have to carry me back home, moaned Grandy. Mrs. Cries a Lot called and reminded Grandy that she had been making tear soup for years and would be more than glad to come right over and show her the correct way to make it. Thanks, but no, said Grandy. This pot has my name on it. Grandy knew better than to let Mrs. Cries-a-Lot or anyone else tell her what she should do to get through this terrible loss. Next, her recipe called for some comfort food. For Grandy, this meant mashed potatoes or ice cream. Comfort food always makes you feel better, at least for a little while. It gets past that big lump in your throat where other foods can't. I think it needs some chocolate, too. After all, it was her soup. Grandy kept attending worship, even though she was very mad at God. Sometimes she yelled at God and asked why this happened. And sometimes she demanded to know where God was when she was feeling so all alone. Still, Grandy trusted God, but she didn't understand God. She sensed that people believed that if she really had faith, she would be spared deep sorrow, anger, and loneliness. Grandy kept reminding herself to be grateful for all the emotions that God had given her. On some afternoons, people would ask questions like, is it soup yet? Or, how long is it going to take? You have been at this for over a month now. It's time to get out of the kitchen. Grandy fumed at the caller's advice. Grandy looked forward to getting the mail each day. She dreaded the day when no more sympathy cards would come. When she was alone and needed to think, she found it helpful to keep notes on her soup making. Thank goodness Grandy and Pops have been married a long time. They already knew each other's tea or soup would be different. Secretly, Grandy wished Pops would put more flavoring in his soup, but he doesn't want to, and he's perfectly content to dine alone and sip his own soup. Making tear soup is hard work, and sometimes it was all she could think about. Even the things that Grandy used to love to do, she didn't have the energy for, nor did she care about anymore. Some of Grandy's friends over the years had not tended to their tear soup. Their soup boiled over and the pot scorched. What a mess. It took them a long time to clean up their pots and to start over. The smell of burnt soup still lingers in some of their homes. Grandy knew there were times when she needed to take a break from her soup making, even though it was hard to do. She forced herself to get away. Grandy heard that a neighbor was having to take her turn in the kitchen. Some people thought the neighbor was eating too much tear soup, so Grandy, being an old and somewhat wise woman, called and invited her to a special soup gathering where it's not bad manners to cry in your soup or have second helpings. Soon, the thoughtful cook sat at Grandy's table and discussed the process of making tear soup. There are some parts that require help from friends, and some parts that you just have to do alone. They shared stories about soup making they wouldn't dare tell anyone else for fear of being judged a bad cook. They all laughed knowingly when Grandy remarked how on days when she was daydreaming while driving, she was glad that the car seemed to know where she wanted to go. These people had become Grandy's new best friends. One day, as Grandy and Chester, her grandson, were going for a drive, Chester asked, Mom says you've been making tear soup. What does she mean? Well, tear soup is a way for you to sort through all the different types of feelings and memories you have when you lose someone or something special. Remember your baby brother died right before he was born and your mom sat for days holding his blanket and weeping? She was making tear soup. You made soup yourself by acting out your own disappointment when you shouted at Jason, wishing his brother would die too. And you remember when Billy's dog died and he didn't want to play with you? Not feeling like having fun is one of the ingredients of tear soup also. And remember when Aunt May got divorced and they had to move? There was a lot of tear soup simmering in that house. Some days when you're making tear soup, it's even hard to breathe. And some days you feel like running away. You just hope a better day comes along. And then comes one of the hardest parts of making tear soup. It's when you decide it might be okay to eat something instead of soup all the time. The next morning, as Grandy was cleaning up, Chester asked her if she was done making tear soup. "Well, I don't think you actually ever finish. The hard work of making this batch of soup is almost done, though. I'll put the rest in the freezer and we'll pull it out from time to time to have a little taste." "So what else have you learned about making tear soup, Grandy?" "Well, I've learned that grief, like a pot of soup, changes the longer it simmers and the more things you put into it. I've learned that sometimes people say unkind things, but they really don't mean to hurt you. And most importantly, I've learned that there is something down deep within us all to help us survive the things we think we can't survive." "Grandy, you know so much. What will I do after you die?" "Don't worry, I will leave you my recipe for tear soup." So how many of you have made tear soup in your lifetime? I think most all of us have had that experience at some point or another. And if you haven't, you will. How many of you found some familiar experiences in what you've heard? Yeah? What are some of the most difficult things you deal with when you're dealing with grief? Other people, yeah. Absolutely. Acceptance. Sometimes just being with the grief can feel like it's too much. This past year, we've lost many members of this congregation, and we have many members who have lost loved ones dear to them. This book was actually written for people of all ages, and at the back of it, it has resources on what to do and what to expect for different kinds of people going through different kinds of loss. And I actually give this book, and some of you experienced this year, when you've experienced a loss yourself. Because I think it's important to remember you're not alone and that all of this is normal stuff. We live in a society that tends to try and put those difficult feelings at bay. You know, it's all kinds of stuff to make us feel good and be out in the world and look just right and be perfect and all the things that we cannot be. And we live in a culture that doesn't really help us be with grief or understand it. But there was a time, you'll notice Grandy said that this was something that her ancestors did. But then got traded in for a can of soup. And I'll tell you, there's some days I'd love to just grab some SpaghettiOs or some chicken soup off the shelf, grab some Campbell's and call it a day, right? Just be done with it. But that's not how grief works, right? It's a process of experience and of memory. As we look at the mementos on our altar this morning and the pictures, this is some of our own tear soup that we are creating today as a community. So as you go forward this day, I hope that you think about all those that you've lost. We want to talk about this now here in November because we're going into the holiday season. Inevitably, you're going to want to pull some of that soup out, and that's normal. It is really hard to miss those that we love during the holiday season. It's also important to remember, as our story suggests, that grief isn't just about those who have died, but it's about all kinds of loss and change. This congregation has been going through a serious loss. Kleber is most beloved minister of this congregation. Many of you grew to love him dearly, and when he left, it was a shock to the system. It was a struggle. Many people still express their struggle in forgiving him for leaving. Some folks still struggle in forgiving me for being here. Let's be honest, right? Because I can't be him, and I can't do things like he did, and it's never going to happen. But that's part of that grief process, and I actually think that it's grief for the living, for those who can't be in our lives anymore, that can be harder. Because at least with someone who's died, you know that there's an end to it. But in our own lives, we have many people who have walked out of our lives, or who have judged us. I know many of you come from Christian families who have said that you're going to hell or that you're a pagan or something for attending a UU church. I've had those conversations with many members of this congregation. Or because you are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender and your family has judged you. Or because you're liberal, or because you vote Democrat, or because you're a libertarian or a Republican, or because you like cats. I don't know. There are all kinds of reasons that people have for cutting us out of their lives, of avoiding the difficult conversations. And grief in that space is particularly difficult. And tear soup is the same soup, whether living or dead, whether it's a major life transition or something else. All of that is normal. And part of the process of dealing with that grief is the art of forgiveness and compassion. This month, as we're talking about forgiveness, we've talked about what it means to need to be able to forgive oneself. There's also a component of forgiveness for those who have gone on. Sometimes it's just forgiving them for dying. Sometimes it's forgiving them for judging you. Sometimes it's forgiving yourself for not being the person they want you to be. But forgiveness is wrapped up in that grief experience because there's always something that is lost and changed. And it's not forgiveness in the sense of we need to feel guilt. It's forgiveness in the sense that we need to accept what is. I think sometimes we have higher standards for who we think we should be. And we don't always meet those standards. Or other people don't meet those standards. And so when we lose that person, be they living or dead, it is hard to forgive ourselves or them for that being gone, for that judgment, for that struggle. One of the age-old things that shows up in movies and stories and stuff is the parent who yelled at their child and then the child died. Right? And it wasn't that they didn't love their child, but because that was the last thing that they said, there's this wish that they could do it differently. And that's where I think forgiveness comes in, is when we wish we could have done it differently. And then, of course, there are those loved ones who have died who have committed horrible atrocities against us. Those of you who experienced abuse from those who should have been caretakers. That gets wrapped up in grief, too. And we feel the grief even for those who may have harmed us. So as you go through this morning's ritual, I invite you to think about, where is forgiveness in your life? Who do you need to forgive and how? And how do you make your own tear soup in your life? Each week we take some time to remember those joys and sorrows, struggles, and celebrations in our lives. And this morning, as we engage in this ritual, I invite you also to think of those who have gone on, those that you need to forgive, those struggles in your life that you're facing, where tear soup, where grief is a big part of your life. I invite you to come forward at this time and place stones in the bowl of our healing community, which includes the waters collected by this congregation annually at our water communion, in a ritual of joy and sorrow. Thank you. We place a stone in the bowl for all those joys and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, and a stone in the bowl for all of those who cannot be with us here today. I invite you now to join me in a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to take notice of the world around you. Be aware of the sounds and the smells, the feeling of the air and the clothes on your skin. I invite you to make these sounds and these smells and this feeling a part of your silent inner self, and to become aware of how your body feels. Grief and loss live in our bodies. And when we talk about it, you may feel tears. You may feel your throat constricting, or your breath growing more shallow. Your stomach might feel a little upset. Your body might be more tense than usual. This is normal and healthy. And it is a form of love, and perhaps the most difficult form of love. For we do not feel grief for those that we do not love. I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. And now, so your neighbor can hear you, in and out. And one more time, in and out. Breathing is a natural way in which our body regulates and helps us cope with the struggles of our lives. And so I again invite you to take one more slow, deep breath in and out. The still small voice within, an amazing mystery beyond our knowing. We offer our gratitude this day for all who have come into our lives. For all of those who teach us the power of love and grace, for those that we can forgive, and for those that we continue to struggle to forgive. We offer special thought and ask for grace for those who have left this world, who have loved us, and for whom we love. May their lives continue on in us, guiding us in all that we do, and all that we say, and all that we know. And for those who have left us, for whom we have painful memories, for whom we are still struggling to survive those experiences, for those whom we are thriving in spite of, may we offer our own forgiveness as we are able, and may we know that we are enough and whole. For all those bowls upon bowls of tear soup within this room and beyond these walls, we offer our heart, we offer our presence, we offer our listening ears. May we never try to fix, but to be with those who need our presence. We offer gratitude for this most amazing community, for our children and our youth and our elders and everyone in between, who give us guidance and who remind us how important relationship and connection are. May it be so, and blessed be. Sing Comfort Me. We have an altar here this morning of items of remembrance. And as I continue with the second portion of the sermon this morning, I invite you, if you have an item to place on the altar this morning, to please come forward. I give you permission to do that while I am talking. Grief is one of those indescribable experiences because none of us experience it the same. It is different for a child than it is for an adult. It is often different for men and women and trans folks and genderqueer folks. It's often different based on culture and class, the expectations of how we act and how we respond. But the truth is that any grief that we feel is a sign that what is happening matters. That person or that animal or that experience is significant in our lives. And sometimes we turn away from it because we don't want the pain. But we lose track of the importance when we do that. For those of you who live with dissociation, which is a form of coping with trauma, you have learned that emotion delayed is only emotion intensified. Yes? That if we don't deal with the emotions in our lives, they have a tendency of just coming out. And so, for example, in the Midwest, one of my favorite places, because I'm from here, where anger is often feared, folks don't let up the little bits of anger as they happen, and so they tend to explode. And so we tend to identify anger with rage, rather than anger is also disappointment. And anger is frustration. And anger is annoyance. None of you ever get annoyed, right? Those low-level forms of anger help us be with what's true so that we don't end up in those large moments. But sometimes the experience is so big, it just rips out of us. And again, it's a sign that it matters. That there's only one way out, and that's to drink the soup. It's to make the soup. It's to be in the process. And so this morning we're going to engage in a ritual to help make some more soup in our lives. We did this last year, and for those of you who have seen in our worker room, we have this wreath that we keep in the hall. And the ribbons are the names of those who have died that are significant to members of this congregation. I noticed that on this wreath there are names of animals and names of children and beloved parents and elders and friends. There's a ribbon on here for the children and teachers at Sandy Hook. There's a ribbon on here for Oscar Grant and for Michael Brown. There are all kinds of ribbons on here for each of us have our own griefs and struggles in our lives. And so at this time, we will hand out ribbons and pens, and you will be invited to write down the names of people who have died in the last year for whom you wish to be remembered in a ritual of remembrance. And when you're done with the pins, just pass them back. Do you want it? No? Okay. Teresa? How many? Just one? Do you need a pen? It's on my desk. Once you're done with your pins, pass them back. If you haven't gotten a ribbon, some is on the way. Anybody else need a pin? It's coming. It's coming. If you have your ribbons ready, I invite you to come forward at this time and tie them onto our wreath. Comfort me. Comfort me, oh my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me, comfort me, oh my soul. Sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me, oh my soul. Sing with me, sing with me, sing with me, oh my soul. Walk with me, walk with me. How many can you? Walk with me. Walk with me, oh my soul. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me, oh my soul. Breathe with me. Breathe with me. Breathe with me. Breathe with me, oh my soul. Breathe with me. Breathe with me. Breathe with me, oh my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, oh my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, oh my soul. Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of worship.
Who have flown, who have rolled, who have driven and cajoled their way to the sea. We hold them in our hearts. We remember them in our thoughts. And we let our spirits contain all that they meant and all that they tell us about who we are. It's a difficult day to remember those who have gone on. And yet, because of them, you sit here. You get to say yes to life. May you be a blessing to all you meet. May you give a kind word, a comforting ear, and a loving hug to all who need you in this day and the days to come. May it be so. We had a different hymn planned, but we're going to skip that and just go to the last slide. Just keep going. We're not going to do it. Yes. And as Dee extinguishes our flame, I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow, and to turn across the aisles towards one another. Each person here will one day be a person who is grieved for, just as you grieve for others. We are part of a long cycle of love and hope and grief and loss that goes on, and yet we say yes because the love is so wonderful and the life so amazing, even when it's hard to see. So look around this room. These folks need you. Your loving words, your comforting hug, your listening ear. May we live this wisdom in our community and share it with our world. May we know that we are not alone. Go in peace and go in love.